Calculus might be a scary monster for many people. For some, it might just be a stepping stone for much bigger and challenging things. Either way, calculus is important for engineering purposes, and more so for theoretical computer science. Here we go.
The Computer Science Software Engineering College Courses Review Podcast, where we describe the core courses that all aspiring computer scientists and software engineers should take on their college path. And now your host, Andres Arriaga.
Welcome back, everybody. Happy New 2019. Hope you all had amazing holidays and vacations and whatever you guys were doing. Hope you enjoyed, you learned, and you lived to the fullest. I just wanted to say thank you very much to all of you who are loyal listeners and also the ones who are listening for the first time. I hope you're learning something new, and if you want me to maybe give the episodes a little more emphasis on something or, you know, talk about a certain subject, please, please, please message me. Please do. I would absolutely love to hear what your questions, your areas of interest, and just exactly where you fit in the computational world, what you are. You can reach me through Twitter at AndresArriaga77. You can email me at AndresArriaga7@gmail.com. And you can follow the podcast through Facebook. Give a little like to our Facebook page. I post all the new episodes there alongside some interesting material in the future. Just so you know, wink, wink. And I just want to create a culture of interaction, you know, between me and you. I want this to be way more personal, to get to know you guys, to build relationships. That's what I want to do, guys. Well, thank you very much again. And we are ready to get started. We're getting right back into action this year with the last course of the second semester, Calculus for Computation. The reason why it's called Calculus for Computation instead of just simple calculus is because of the emphasis that the course acquires. It teaches not only the basic calculus concepts, but also logical demonstrations, just like the ones in discrete mathematics. However, if it's not, you know, your forte, don't worry, because it's not the main focus of the course. So don't worry. It's basically just that. That's the only difference that it has from normal standard vanilla calculus. Okay, so what is calculus exactly? Calculus is the mathematical study of continuous change. In the same way that geometry is the study of shape, and algebra is the study of generalizations of arithmetic operations. It has two main branches. It has differential calculus and integral calculus. First, differential calculus is a subfield concerned with the study of the rates at which quantities change. And on the other side, integral calculus is the study of the area beneath a curve. We will talk about this more later on. Why is this course important? Well, it's important because it's necessary to have a good mathematical foundation for more advanced topics in analysis of algorithms, and it's used all the time in computer graphics and in computer science in general. You will need concepts like the ones you learn in calculus for sure if you want to go in depth to some other advanced computational subjects. Okay, we're going to go through the contents of the course. First, we got limits and continuity. Then we got derivatives. Third, we got derivative applications. And last but not least, defined integrals and undefined integrals. Okay, we're going to go through each one of these sections. I'm just going to give a brief overview. Maybe like the core explanation of what you should grasp and learn at the beginning, more so, slash. And then later on, we can talk about what you can take away from this course as a whole and what its repercussions are, okay? Okay, guys, let's start with limits. Limits, you'll see that they have an intuitive definition and a formal definition. What I'm going to try to do in this little segment is to give you the intuitive definition or the informal definition. What I see as limit is the concept that you can get as close as possible to a certain point without actually touching it or without actually stepping on that point. So, for example, say you have the point 0, 0, you know, the origin. And you want to get as close as possible to that point without touching it. And you can do that through the right or through the left. You can do that through the positive x-axis or the negative x-axis. And in this case, let's say we want to do it through the positive x-axis. we could get as close as possible to say, well, 0.0001, 0, that is not 0, 0, but it's pretty freaking close. And with that information, we can derive a lot of different conclusions. Much of these conclusions can be done using infinity. You know, limits are actually huge tools, important and powerful tools, in order to manage infinite values. And with that, I mean, you cannot calculate easily with infinity in the middle of an equation or a function. What you have to do is use limits to get as close as possible to that infinite value. And that's why you need to learn these concepts, because in the computational world, you're going to get a lot of approximations, of estimates regarding huge numbers. And what better way to do that if you have a background knowledge of a limit to infinity, or a limit to a very huge number, or a very small number, actually, if you really want to do that. So limits do come in handy very often in the computer science world. You'll then most likely learn about continuity, the concept of continuous functions. In mathematics, a continuous function is a function of which sufficiently small changes in the input result in small changes in the output. Otherwise, the function is said to be a discontinuous function. I'm reading this from Google because I want to be as specific as possible. You know, my professor gave us a lot of cheap tricks and shortcuts regarding concepts and maybe complex calculations that we had to do. So maybe that's not going to be the case for you. You're going to be learning maybe a more standard, scientific, and formal approach. I don't want to destroy that for you, but oh well, here it goes. My professor told us that a continuous function is basically a normal function. One that you see that goes up and down and whatever the fudge you want, but it doesn't do any crazy shenanigans like spike and go all over the place and go back and then go, you know, go spirally and go doing loops and stuff. It doesn't do that. Okay, it's a line. It's a basic line. It's nice and smooth. It can go up and down, have hills and stuff, but it continues. It doesn't have any, you know, bizarre or powerful turns. It has like just, it goes up and down and smooth and sweet and nice, just like you want to see the water. Something like that. But yeah, that's basically the informal definition of a continuous function that our professor gave us. And, you know, you can learn a bunch of these concepts in places like brilliant.org. I'm not sponsored by them, but that's an awesome place to learn concepts about math and science and computer science. And it's just a huge, it's an incredible, amazing, intuitive place where you can learn the right way. It's complete, it's very fun, it's entertaining, it's direct to the point, it's nice. I 100% recommend brilliant.org, and go look up Calculus Done Right, okay? Totally recommend that. We're going to continue with function derivatives. And derivative, guys, are very interesting things to grasp, because a derivative of a function of a real variable measures the sensitivity to change. And whether or not that variable will change more if this other variable changes as well. I know it's a very abstract concept, but for example, the derivative of the position of a moving object with respect to time is the object's velocity. You know, if you got two variables, one of them is distance and the other one of them is time, then you can get the object's velocity. This measures how quickly the position of an object changes when time advances, you know? So it's basically to capture the change in time, or the change of a certain variable. And how is this important for computer scientists? Well, honestly, it's not that 100% important right now. However, it is always very useful to know for future courses, especially the linear algebra course. That is one of the most important courses that a computer scientist should know and should learn to the fullest. But derivatives, what they provide you is a very broad idea of how change can be measured. And furthermore, it can also help you out with other advanced subjects later on in maybe analysis of algorithms class that I know there are some really good applications for derivatives and differing graph structures and graph managements, because there are a lot of vectors and different functions used in the analysis of algorithms class. But apart from that, throughout the major, I don't think that you will have to use them that much unless you go in deep into computer graphics. So with that said, you should know basically what the mean value theorem is, the first derivative and growth, second derivative and concavity, local and global extremes, stroke of curves, maximum and minimum problems, L'Hôpital rule, and Landau notation. That in Spanish will be L'Hôpital rule and Landau notation. I don't really know how you pronounce that in English, but oh, I gave it my best try. So yeah, you basically know about that, and you're all said and done for what basic computer scientists need to know. Later on, we move into function integration. First, we're going to talk about integrals, okay? An integral assigns numbers to functions in a way that can describe displacement, area, volume, and other concepts that arise by combining infinitesimal data. Integration is one of the two main operations of calculus, as we talked beforehand, with its inverse operation, differentiation, being the other. And as you may know, if you really want to know about displacement, about area, about finding the volume of an object or a certain phenomena, integration is the way to go. Okay, it's high-level things. This is when you're going to get a little bit more high-level and a little bit more complex, if you will. However, for a computer scientist, you want to know that integration opens up the possibility to express sums basically in the Riemann sum. The Riemann sum is a certain kind of approximation of an integral by a finite sum. It means that it has an end, but it's a progress or a sequence of sums. It is named after the 19th century German mathematician Bernard Riemann, and one very common application is approximating the area of functions or lines on a graph, meaning that, yes, ding, 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 you got vectors and you can approximate that with the Riemann sum, meaning that for analysis of algorithms, for computer science in general, you will need to know about this. So pay attention, guys. And it also helps with the length of curves and other approximations necessary for different calculations or different information that you might need to get out of in the future. However, this might sound a little bit more complex and kind of like abstract, you know. Basically, what you gotta know is that for integration, imagine that you have a curve, okay? You have a function, you know it curves, it's smooth, it's nice and simple. Now imagine that with respect to the x-axis, you want to calculate the area or the volume underneath the curve. So say we have a little hill, you know, coming from 0, 0 all the way to 10, 10. And it does like this, like it's a little hill. Imagine that little hill, okay? And if you want to calculate the area beneath that curve, what you got to do is use the integrals. And that is best symbolized by rectangles. So imagine that you put a bunch of rectangles underneath the curve. You will have some rectangles only touching the curve with its side, with one of its vertices, right? Well, that happens, and of course, there will be gaps between one rectangle and the other with respect with the curve. So what you gotta do is you gotta calculate as many rectangles as possible, meaning that if you do infinite rectangles, you will have the curve. However, you can't do infinite rectangles, and this is when the limit comes back in, you know, because the limits, they help you to calculate things to infinity. So you want to limit, you want to get as close to infinity as possible, as close as infinite rectangles as possible underneath that curve, so that you can get the best and most precise approximation of the volume underneath that curve. And that is when it all comes together. You see, guys, everything comes together. And this is where I want to make a brief point that I've been making beforehand in my discrete mathematics course review. And that is always, always, always study a lot for the first exams. That is the key. If you study like a madman for the first exam And then for the second exam, dude, the third exam is going to be the hardest one. And guess what? You're going to be very relaxed because you got very good grades at the very first two exams. And also, the two exams are the basic foundations for the rest of the course, meaning that it will be simpler and it will be more important to understand than later on. So if you got those down, if you know the fundamentals as well, remember guys, fundamentals are everything. If you know the fundamentals for sure, then later on, the more advanced concepts are going to be easier to understand because you got solid ground-based fundamentals. And you're going to have good grades on top of that. So that is my number one tip with any math course. Do that. Please do that. Do not sleep on the first exam. Do not sleep on the second one. It's a nightmare at the end of the semester trying to get an A or more than an A in your last exam when everything is piled up. You got projects, you got exams, you got different types of work and jobs and stuff. No. You gotta work hard and hustle at the very beginning strategically, and it'll be better for you in the long run. So, on a closing note, the final goals of the course would be to acquire a basic concept of the calculation of limits and its formal definition. Also, understand the basic concepts of differential calculus and its various applications. Achieve the mastery, the basic concepts of the integral calculus and its applications as well. And this will all encourage a critical and creative attitude that will furthermore make you analyze and understand mathematical models better, and it'll generate an interest in obtaining new knowledge. Plus, guys, if you want to go deep into computer science and you want to do this seriously and, you know, full head on and software development with computer science and everything, but sciencey stuff usually requires a lot of linear algebra, and that's a course for the next semester. However, for linear algebra, you will need to know a bunch about derivatives and some limits. But yeah, for sure, like calculus will propel you towards that, and it'll propel you towards more advanced subjects in analysis of algorithms, which is the first course in the computer science realm. For like, I don't know if that's like the thing, but like in the more theoretical realm of computer science, analysis of algorithms will be the first one, and it will help you out a lot in that one. And if you want to go deep into that, and I know it's amazing, it's such an amazing field of study, guys. I'm really excited to see what's up next. But yeah, that will give you a lot of help for that other course, linear algebra. And linear algebra, you'll see a bunch of other things that are going to be more direct, if you may, more friction with the things that we experiment in programming, such as matrices and combination of matrices and how do you invert them and how you can invert that to convert into images and arrays and vectors and different types of things that we use all the time, but we just don't know. And if you know, well, you know what they say. Knowledge is power. Well, guys, thank you very much for listening. We're using now the new equipment, the new gear. I'm talking through an ATR 2100 microphone connected via USB with the computer. And I just do this because it's easier. You know, I also have this interface, the AudioBox USB by PreSonus. But I just find it simpler and easier to use this USB connector. We also have a shock mount and an arm for later use. I'm sorry. And a pop filter, of course. So let me know if you guys felt it was okay, if it felt way better. I don't know. Please contact me. Tell me anything you want. Literally, you can just say hi, or you can give me a question or something, or just give me a comment about the podcast or anything. Please, you can even be rude to me. Please, just anything. I'll be super glad to read and answer whatever you guys have to say. But thank you so much for listening. I highly, highly and greatly appreciate all of this, guys. Thank you so much. You got no idea. This is Andres Arriaga in the Computer Science Software Engineering College Courses Review Podcast, season finale of number two. Season number two finale. See you guys on the third season. Take care. God bless you all, and bye-bye.